If you would, turn to Psalm 136. And I would ask, I dare not ask, I should say, you to close your eyes and put yourself in Jerusalem at this point. For I'm afraid some of you would not open them until we say amen. But Psalm 136 is one of those antiphonal hymns. The priest or one aspect of the congregation would cite one portion, and the remainder would cite the other. And it is said that once Psalm 136 was cited antiphonally during the Passover, as the Passover lamb was sacrificed. But put yourself in that city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, at that time of year, hundreds and thousands of men gathered during that great festival. The lamb has been sacrificed. The high priest is taking the blood into the Holy of Holies to offer atonement for the people. And picture, if you would, a priest coming out and starts Psalm 136 as we know it today in this fashion. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Okay, and the students would go, mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. And just stop and think of the hundreds and thousands of voices that would be reciting those portions. We look at this chapter. We see a call to give thanks in the first three verses that we just cited. Some reasons to give thanks from verses 4 to 25. And then a reminder to give thanks in the portion that was our meditation verse. While our focus is on giving thanks to God for who He is and what He has done for His people Israel, I also want to draw out from this passage some lessons to share with you what we can glean from this psalm that's applicable to us today that reminds us of the greatness of our God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. It's our call to give thanks. Unto the Lord, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Give thanks because of who He is, and for the fact that His very nature is good. He is Jehovah. He is that covenant-keeping God. And we worship Him because He has revealed Himself to us as one who is worthy of our worship. He is good. That is, He is perfect. Even more than that, just as important is His goodness to us, His goodness to His people Israel at that time, is His mercy. And it's just not mercy, it's loving kindness. It's a Hebrew word, hesed. Trust I'm pronouncing it correctly. But His loving kindness. And that loving kindness is used extensively throughout the Old Testament. His loyal, His steadfast, His faithful love for His people. And it does what? And it endures forever. Just not for a short period of time, but it endures forever. So throughout this time, we see this word, hesed, is mercy endures forever, that loving kindness. For 26 times, the people cite this. And I dare say that it is a reminder that it is important. Because it is mentioned or referred, used so many times. Verse 1, we see that the word for Lord there is capitalized. It is Jehovah, that covenant-keeping God. Verse 2, it is Elohim. He is the God of gods. There's no other God before Him. Verse 3, we see He is Lord of lords. There's no other dominion, no other authority over Him. Now, if you look at Israel, where its location, We see the surrounding nations. Egypt to the south, Assyria to the north, Medo-Persia to the west, to the east, the Meds to the west. And they have their gods, their idols. But if we look at Psalm 135, we see what the psalmist writes about their idols and his opinion of their idols. Verses 15 through 18. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. They that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them. These dead gods could never do the wonders that the Lord did, nor were they good, nor were they full of mercy or loving kindness. And just as verse 18 indicates, those who made these dead idols, these dead gods, and those that worship these dead gods are just as deaf and dumb and blind as those false idols and false gods are. So we've seen the call to give thanks. Now let's look at the reason to give thanks. For there are several. Verses 4 through 9. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, his mercy endureth forever. To him who stretcheth out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who made the great lights, his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night. The first reason is his creation. The psalmist starts from the beginning of time, from with the creation of the universe, as recorded in Genesis 1. God had the wisdom to plan creation, the power to execute that plan. He spoke the word and it happened. He didn't need to consult with anybody else. He knew what he wanted. He knew how to do it. So in the night or the day, when we look up the heavens or down to the earth, the waters, we see the evidence of the hand of God and realize that there is a creator who brought it all from nothing. For it's in this creation, for all that we have, all that we need for life and work is in creations. And let us give him thanks for that. Verse 4, we see the very fact that he alone does great wonders. He didn't consult, didn't need to ask anyone else. And those great wonders are those marvelous creative acts that we see. The vastness of space. For those of us who have perhaps have been out in the middle of the ocean, or out in the deserts, or high in the mountains, where they're away from the lights of civilization, we truly see the vastness of space around us. Where there's a cloudless night, and we think we see the stars in abundance now, here in the city, here in the country. But when we're out in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, the vastness of space just opens up and we see stars that we could never imagine seeing before. Verses 5 and 6. To him who by wisdom made the heavens. That understanding that he had insight into how to act in acting. Verses 7 through 9. The handiwork, his handiwork in space from the distance, from the very fact that he put the earth from the moon, sun, that right distance to where we have life on this green and blue ball that we call Earth, all the way to what we call a red hypergiant star. Now, you may wonder, what is that? The largest known star is Canis Majeris. Now, how big is that? It is 1.7 billion miles in diameter. And if you'd like to go on a plane ride, hop on a 747, traveling at 560 miles an hour, it would take how many years? 1,100 years to circle that star. That is how vast it is. And to think our God spoke that into existence. The vastness, the majesty of God. Another reason is His redemptive power. To whom, verses 10 through 15, to Him who smote Egypt in their firstborn, His mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who divided the Red Sea into parts, His mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. We see that first instance of a lamb being sacrificed and that shed blood for the sins of the people. And again, stop and think for a minute. You're one of the firstborn, the house of Abraham. And you know what's coming. What is running through your mind right now? And then you look up, you look at the doorpost, and you see where your father took the blood from that lamb that was sacrificed. And he went swipe and swipe across the lintel and the doorpost, trusting in the blood of that lamb. How comforting that must be to know that you're protected. It has been said from verse 12 that with a strong hand, with an outstretched arm, He brought His people out. That when He created the universe, it was the work of His fingers. Psalm 8:3. For I consider the heavens the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained. But in verse 12, we see where when He battled for His people, for the salvation of His people, it was with His strong right arm that He fought for them. His people were much more important, vital to Him. Now, the passing through the Red Sea, I understand we've perhaps seen the trailers for the latest movie that is coming out on the Exodus. I don't think they've shown the trailer for their passing through the Red Sea. But I think back to the old version with Charlton Heston. He's standing there on the cliff. That Cecil B. DeMille movie. And you see the parting of that Red Sea. What must it have been like for those people to have witnessed that? Knowing what's behind them. And they see this Red Sea just open up. And they go through it. Passing through that. No doubt looking up at all that water. Knowing they are being delivered from bondage. Verse 16, guidance. To Him who led His people through the wilderness, for His mercy endureth forever. Leading through the wilderness. We all remember, it was a cloud by day and fire by night. Over 600 men was part of that group. When we consider women and children, probably over 2 million people. And just think of the logistics. It's a fancy word saying all the supplies that they need. But remember, Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes didn't wear out. There was water. There was manna. There was pheasants or grouse when they complained too much. But what was involved in breaking up and setting up camp? In the sequence and the order that they had to do so. All planned out by God instructing Moses how to do so. Do you realize we have guidance today? While we don't have a visible sign of cloud by day and fire by night, we have the Word of God to guide us, to instruct us. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit within us today for guidance. So we have that guidance. We've seen, for the reasons to give thanks, we've seen the creation, we've seen redemption, we have seen guidance. And as the priest continues, verses 17 through 22, we see a conqueror, or champion, if you would. To him who smote great kings, his mercy endureth forever. Who slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sidon, the king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. For all and Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, for his mercy endureth forever. God fought their battles. We understand that. Through the Sinai, through the wilderness. And while this list is not exhaustive of all the battles that they fought, we'd see that God fought their battles. When kings Sidon and Og blocked their way, they were soundly defeated. And their land was part of that domain that was given to Israel. But it's also in fulfillment of that aspect of the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. They were to have a land. A land that was theirs. A land that they will never surrender. A land that they will eventually possess completely and totally. As they moved into Canaan, crossing the Jordan River into Canaan, that first battle at Jericho, absolute triumph. Then, unfortunately, at Ai, overconfidence, and 36 men lost their lives. Repentance, confession and repentance of their confidence, of the gold, those idols being hidden. They moved on into, they went back, retook Canaan, I'm sorry, Ai. But from there they went south and fought battles. They went north and fought battles. And not a life was lost. Well, they learned their lesson. Obedience. Absolute, total obedience. That's what our Lord wants. That's what He expects. So He fought their battles for them. There were actual battles. It was land warfare. Today, from Ephesians 6, we've learned that we have the armor of God. Some of those pieces, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We have a spiritual battle to fight today. For we fight against one who seeks to destroy us spiritually, to harm us, to bring us to a point where we are ineffective for the kingdom of God. And our Lord has given us those tools, that equipment, if you would, to fight those spiritual battles. Then also there is remembrance. Verses 23 through 25. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. In all this, we see that it is God that works on behalf of his people, those who had been enslaved, freeing them from their enemies. It is quite possible that this psalmist is looking back at the exile. For it would certainly fit this description. But more than anything else, if that is what is being the people are being reminded of, we can fully appreciate that and understand it. But more importantly, the psalmist is extolling the Jehovah for being a marvelous, wonderful helper, savior, and provider. He has remembered Israel from where the people were few in number, defenseless, and oppressed. He rescued them from the crutches of their enemies. He unfailingly provided food for them out of this passage. There are some tremendous promises from the New Testament that we need to take heart. Just a couple of them. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need. All that we need, God provides. And I think as I look out and I see everyone here, we have all been in college, Bible college, seminary, one time or another, still there. And no doubt that many of you, if not all of you, can at one time or another testify of God meeting your need right now. You could do so. But another great promise is from the John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Stop and think. The God that created this universe, something that is as vast as that red hypergiant that I mentioned, guess what? He knows you. And he loves you. He loves us with that everlasting love, that loving kindness. We have seen a call to give thanks, reasons to give thanks. And our meditation verse was that verse 26, as a reminder to give thanks. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. The psalmist is writing to remind the people of God to give thanks for God's creation, for his redemption, for his guidance, the fact that he's our conqueror or champion, and that he remembers us. Tremendous lessons for each and every one of us. So it's not only this passage, this chapter, is not only a reminder to Israel, but it's should be a vivid reminder to each and every one of us that God loves us with an everlasting love. It should also remind each and every one of us that in our expressing of our heartfelt thanks to God, it is part of our worship of him that his eternal and faithful love should be at the core of any other expression of thanksgiving. Please do not think of this as just, you may run across someone that may think, well, that's just vain repetition. No, I'm quoting the passage. This is not any kind of vain repetition. It is an emphasis, emphasizing God's loving kindness. 26 times. I think he's trying to tell us something. That it endures forever. Because when we engage in that authentic worship, expressed from a heart of genuine thankfulness, that we grow in our appreciation of such an immeasurable attribute of His loving kindness that endures forever. So perhaps there are times that we need to look back. We should look back and review all that God has done for us, what He has done in us, and what He will continue to do in each and every one of us as we seek to live for Him and love Him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Let us stand. Almighty God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for the day that You have given us. We pray that as we go out from here, in every aspect of life, that we understand that Your mercy, Your loving kindness endures forever. Almighty God, we pray for the coming days, ministry opportunity at Mount Olive Correctional Facility and the men that are engaged at the Bible College there. Pray that the concert would be a blessing, an encouragement, and a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Opportunities in Montgomery, ministry there. But for our students, for strength and encouragement in the coming days as they prepare to take their final exams, papers submitted, or they look back at this semester and say, and think of and rejoice in what they have learned about You, about the goodness of God in their lives. For it's in Your precious name that we pray. Amen.